Shalom, welcome to SJTF. This is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to a refuah shlema, a complete recovery for Malka Bat Simcha, and to elevating the souls of Simcha Chazdai, Pesach Vansir, Harav Meir Kahana, Bari Hoffman, Ruven Hoffman, and Yosef Ben Meir. Before we get to our many questions from our great JTFers, I think that most of you know that in the past several days, at least four Jews have been murdered in the land of Israel by Arab Muslim Nazi terrorists. And of course, we've done videos about it. You've seen, for instance, just last night we released a Hebrew and an English video about this. I want to tell you about just one incident to just pretty much illustrate the nature of the Arab Muslim Nazi enemy, how cruel, how evil, how vicious this enemy really is, and why there is no possibility of any solution or any coexistence with the Arab Muslim Nazi enemy of the Jewish people. A 22-year-old Jewish father and his wife, young Jewish couple, were walking in Yerushalayim, Jerusalem, our sacred and eternal capital, when an Arab Muslim Nazi terrorist took out a large knife and started stabbing the man. He stabbed the 22-year-old Jewish father, the Jewish man, and then stabbed his wife, then started stabbing his wife. The wife witnessed the murder of her husband. Her husband died there. He was stabbed to death by this Arab Nazi. The Arab Nazi was then severely injured the woman. So she was severely injured. He ran on. The Arab Nazi ran to try to find other Jews to stab. But she was lying there in blood, in a pool of blood, severely injured, and she saw her dead husband lying next to her. So you can imagine what a horrifying scene it was for this poor woman. And there were lots of Arabs on the street, regular Arab Muslims walking in Jerusalem on the street there. There happened to be a lot of Arab Muslims there when this incident occurred. She begged them for help. They see a woman bleeding, stabbed, whose husband was just murdered right in front of her eyes. The Muslim terrorist runs away to try to find other Jews to stab. And she's asking them, please call the police, get help, do something to help me, please help. I'm dying here, I'm bleeding. And the Arab Muslims on the street laughed at her, cursed her, spit on her while she's bleeding to death next to her dead, murdered husband. This is the cruelty, the savagery, the unbelievable Nazi hatred of the Arab Muslim Nazi citizens of Israel. Citizens of Israel who are part of the Arab Muslim Nazi enemy, who hate the Jewish people and who want to destroy the Jews and literally want to murder every last Jew with the worst acts of cruelty that a human being can imagine. And while this is happening, Benjamin Netanyahu, Bibi Netanyahu, the so-called Prime Minister of Israel, the evil so-called Defense Minister of Israel, Moshe Yaalon, Naftali Bennett from the so-called Jewish Home Party, Shas, Aryeh Deri, and Shas, all the parties that make up the government coalition, a phony right government, they tell us that we have coexistence with the Arab Muslims. They tell us we can live together with millions of Arab Muslims in the land of Israel. We're happily living together there. Naftali Bennett, who's supposed to be the big right-winger in the government, said 99.9% of the Arabs, of the Arab Muslims, 99.9% of the Arab Muslims are loyal to Israel and support Israel. 99.9%, he said. Even though almost all of them vote for Arab Nazi parties that run in the Israeli Knesset elections, in the Israeli parliament elections, openly calling for the destruction of Israel, openly praising all the Muslim Nazi terrorists, openly calling for genocide against the Jews and against all non-Muslim infidels. And Naftali Bennett tells us that these people, 99.9% of them, are loyal Israeli citizens and are supportive and support Israel. And he's supposed to be the big right-winger in the government. We are the only voice of truth right now, and that's a terrible, terrible situation. Because our modest organization reaching just thousands of people on the internet, being the only voice of truth when this is happening, the only voice that really tells the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. That is a really frightening situation, a very frightening development. And then we have Abu Mazen Mahmoud Abbas, who condemned the Israeli police and Israeli soldiers for killing the two Arab terrorists, the two Arab Muslim terrorists who committed these atrocities. In self-defense, the police and soldiers, the police shot them and killed them while they were while he was stabbing people to death. While they were in the act of murdering people in self-defense, there were these two Arab Muslim Nazi terrorists were shot to death. And Abu Mazen Mahmoud Abbas, the head of the PLO Fatah Muslim Nazi terrorists that the Israeli news media supports, that Bibi Netanyahu supports, that the Israeli taxpayers send billions of dollars to, he condemned Israel for killing the two Arab Muslim terrorists whom he refers to as heroes. He named streets after them, he named squares after them on the territory that he's been given. He's been given a lot of territory in Judea and Samaria by successive Israeli governments who are retreating and surrendering and giving up the whole land of Israel. And Netanyahu, while this was happening, was begging Abu Mazen Mahmoud Abbas. I say Abu Mazen Mahmoud Abbas because his name is Abu Mazen. Sometimes he calls himself Abu Mazen, sometimes he calls himself Mahmoud Abbas. Netanyahu was begging him while all this was happening to enter into peace negotiations so that they can create a so-called Palestinian state. Even though there is no Palestine, there are no Palestinians, a so-called Palestinian state would mean Israel would be only 6 to 9 miles wide. It would be national suicide for Israel and the Jewish people. And Netanyahu is begging him to do this. And meanwhile, Netanyahu is giving free electricity, free water, free food, free medicine, free housing, free education to millions of Arabs living in Israel who want to destroy the Jewish state and the Jewish people, while screwing his fellow Jews, while freezing all Jewish building in Judea, Samaria, and Jerusalem, while screwing his fellow Jews and putting the whole Jewish people in grave danger, he's helping the enemy by giving them all of these freebies, all of this assistance from Israeli taxpayers, from very overburdened Israeli taxpayers who pay higher taxes than American taxpayers. I can tell you that if we ever got our hands on a budget of millions of dollars and we could reach the people of Israel with this message, because if we had a multi-million dollar budget, we would reach the people of Israel with this message. Many Israelis would agree with us on this and would respond positively to this message. The tragedy is, we don't have the budget. We can't reach the people of Israel. Isn't that a tragedy? Isn't that a terrible, terrible, sad commentary? What a horrible, horrible reality we're facing. But God bless the great JTFers that at least allow us, in our own modest way, to reach as many people as we can. God bless you for helping us, because at least there's one voice out there. At least there's one voice out there speaking truth. But that's what we've been dealing with this week. And we hope to do more videos on this. We hope to do more exposés on what's going on, because we can't be silent, obviously, while Jewish blood is being shed, while the Jewish people are being abandoned by their own leaders, by their own traitor leaders, and while Israel is on the road, God forbid, to national suicide. We can't sit back silently. We must speak out, and we've got to try to wake up as many Jews as possible. And of course, if there are Jews that want to try to wake the people of Israel up, other Jews in the land of Israel, I believe there are going to be demonstrations and other things that may be taking place. Obviously, we're going to be there backing those people up. At least on the internet, we're going to back them up. And our people in Israel and our Hebrew movement will certainly try to back them up in whatever way possible. We'll do whatever we can, to try to save the Jewish people from this catastrophic situation which their leaders are creating for them. I know you, my fellow JTFers, Jews and righteous Gentiles, you understand the importance, the vital importance of our message. You understand how immoral, how evil it is to sit back and watch this with apathy and indifference. You understand that we're obligated, that we have a duty to do everything in our power to speak up and to fight against this. And so you're helping us promote this, and we need your help. We need your prayers. Please pray for the success of what we're trying to do to wake people up. Please promote our Hebrew and English videos whenever you see them. And please, of course, be active on our news pages. If you speak Hebrew, on our Hebrew news page, hayamin.org. If you don't speak Hebrew, if you only speak English, then at least be active on our English news page, which is also very important, jtf.org. And of course, every check, every money order, every cash donation, everything you send in the mail to our post office box, every donation does make a difference. It helps us. It strengthens us. It enables us to reach more people. It's very, very important. God bless the great JTFers that are helping us with that. And some JTFers, for convenience, would rather make their payments online through PayPal. That's also fine. Again, to us, it makes no difference if you make the payment with your credit card online through PayPal, or if you make the, or if you send it through the regular mail, a check, a money order, cash donation through the regular mail to our post office box. It makes no difference to us. If you want to do it online, you just go to our Hebrew main page, hayamin.org, and on top there's a donate button. You see the word donate in English. You just click on that, and in several minutes you can very conveniently help us with your contribution and show that you also are not going to be silent while this terrible, terrible tragedy is taking place. And so we're going to do what we can. If we work together as a team, and if we work to reach as many people as possible, God willing, hopefully we'll wake up enough people to make a difference. Let's hope we can. Let's hope that we can do this, Be'ezrat Hashem, God willing. Okay, I'm going to move this over here. I got to move over here now to ask the questions. Just give me a second. And I hope that everybody can hear me. I hope everybody can hear me clearly as I'm asking these, as I'm reading the questions. I'm actually reading the questions. I said ask the questions. I'm actually reading the questions that our great JTFers have. And let's start out with Yamach Shmoda Islam, who writes, and I quote, "Every year, supposedly 2 million Indonesian Muslims leave Islam for Christianity. Is this story true?" Unquote. I have to sincerely doubt that, Yamach Shmoda Islam. I can't believe that. If that was happening, if millions of Muslims were converting to Christianity in Indonesia, I think the whole Muslim world would be going crazy. You know how Muslims are. I think they'd be going absolutely crazy. So I know, I don't believe that's true. In fact, the Indonesian Muslim majority are slaughtering the Christians in Indonesia. You remember there were numerous massacres, and 250,000 Christians in recent history, 250,000 Christians in Indonesia were slaughtered by Indonesian Muslims. So you can imagine what would be happening if this were true. So, no, I don't believe that's possible. Thank you, Yamach Shmo. And we go now to, and I should say thank you to Yamach Shmo to Islam. I should say your whole name in this particular instance. And we go to Lewinsky Stinks, Dr. Brennan Rocks, who writes, and I quote, "Rank least to most likely to be a closet Muzi," meaning a closet Muslim. And then there's some names listed here. We'll go through the names. Grover Norquist. Grover Norquist is married to an Arab Muslim Jew-hating animal, and he's also a Jew-hating animal. So I don't know if he himself is a Muslim. He certainly supports them 100%, and he's married to one. So he's supposed to be the guy. He's someone who pretends to be a so-called conservative, and is supposed to be involved with an organization that supposedly monitors the positions of people on the issue of taxes. Complete fake, phony, Muslim terrorist supporting fraud. So whether he himself is actually a Muslim and believes in Islam, you know, I don't know. I know he's married to one and he supports them. Next is Moo Mooley. I think you're referring to Chris Christie. Moo Mooley, I think you mean Chris Christie. No, I don't think he's a Muslim, but he also supports them. He clearly supports them. He supported, of course, the Victory Mosque near the scene of 9/11, and he appointed, of course, a Muslim terrorist to be a judge on New Jersey's Superior Court. He is a very strong supporter of the Muslim terrorist enemies of America and Israel. And then Carly Fiorina, the candidate for president. Carly Fiorina. Well, no, I don't think she's a Muslim either, but she, again, is a supporter of the Muslims. She issued a statement sometime after 9/11, shortly after 9/11, when she was still with the Hewlett-Packard, when she was destroying Hewlett-Packard, and she nearly destroyed that company. She issued a statement, and we really should do a video on this, where she praised Islam and Islamic civilization and wrote wonderful things about Muslims, and it really shows what a dangerous person she is. I don't think she herself is a Muslim, but again, she feels a need to praise them and support them. So she's a very dangerous person. And then George Galloway. George Galloway may be a Muslim. He is so in love with Islam and Muslims and even the Islamic religion. He's the radical left, was a member of the British Parliament. I don't know if he is a Muslim, but he may be, because he defends the Islamic religion in a way and has done certain things that indicate that he may actually have become a Muslim. And then finally, John Dingell. John Dingell is the congressman from Michigan who is also always defending the Arabs and the Muslims. Now, I don't think he's a Muslim himself, but again, he's very pro-Muslim. And you know, we have a lot of collaborators who support them. Some of them are bought off with Arab money and Muslim money. They're just corrupt and evil. And some of them are attracted to enemies of Israel, of the Jewish people, and of America. You have certain people who hate America. You have certain people who are just vicious anti-Semites. And for whatever reason, they decide to support the Muslims because they see the Muslims as the way that they could achieve their goal of destroying America or destroying Israel and the Jewish people. You have people like that who themselves aren't Muslim, but they like what the Muslims are doing to the Jews, to the Christians, to America, to Israel. They like that. Lewinsky Stinks now writes, if Fiorina or Ben Fraudson meaning Ben Carson, if Fiorina or Ben Fraudson is the GOP nominee, what will JTF do for the general election, unquote? That's a good question. I don't know yet. We'll see. We'll see. As you know, we make this decision together as an organization. When we decided to support Ted Cruz, I put the issue... If you remember, I opened up a thread and I put the issue to our members. It's not something that I or just several of us decide by ourselves. It's something that we put to our membership and to the people on the forum, and we vote on it. And I actually put up a poll and we vote on it. And if a majority of JTFers don't support me on supporting a candidate for president, as you know, I won't do it. So, you know, when we endorse someone for president, as with Ted Cruz, we get a majority vote first from our people on our forum. Baruch Hashem, thank God, overwhelmingly voted yes to endorse Ted Cruz. And that was all the way back in 2013. You know, we've been supporting Ted Cruz now for more than 2 years. If he doesn't win, God forbid, which is, of course, very possible, and we get someone like Fiorina or Ben Carson or some other terrible candidate like that, or Donald Trump or some other terrible candidate, if that happens, then we're going to have to confront that reality, and we'll see. We'll see. We'll have to decide together how we're going to handle that. Lewinsky Stinks now writes, do you think Ben Fraudson supports Farrakhan and Black Islam, unquote? No, Ben Carson is a Seventh-day Adventist. And the Seventh-day Adventists, as you know, it's a cult, and which is off the, you know, it's not really part of evangelical Christianity, even though they mimic certain things that evangelicals say, but they have their own belief system, the Seventh-day Adventists. They have their own particular belief system, and he's part of the Seventh-day Adventists. I wonder if all the evangelicals who are voting for him would vote for him if they knew that he's part of the Seventh-day Adventists and knew that the Seventh-day Adventists is not evangelical Christianity. It's really something distinct and different. I wonder if they would. However, I do think Ben Carson, when you say supports Farrakhan and Black Islam, I do think he agrees with the black nationalist, the black nationalist rhetoric that comes from from Farrakhan and Al Sharpton. He said his goal is the same as Al Sharpton's goal. He definitely is into that black nationalist, black militant rhetoric. He likes a lot of that. But I don't think he's a Muslim. I don't think he agrees theologically with Farrakhan and the black Muslims. That I don't think he does, but I think on the racial component of what they stand for, I think that there probably is some agreement there. Thank you, Lewinsky Stinks. And we go to Joe Gutfeld, who writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim, why can't we listen to the audio of the JTF shows that were on QPTV on the JTF website? Thanks, unquote. Joe, because, first of all, you gotta have a link. It's gotta be somewhere on the internet. And those shows, the audio of those shows was on a site that West Coast JTF had created. He created a site with hundreds of programs that had been on QPTV. That site has been down for a while, and we have not been able to get in touch with West Coast JTF, so I don't know what happened to all of that. I have no idea what happened to all of that. I hope he preserved all of that somewhere, at least, because the site is not up anymore. I hope he preserved all of that so that people can listen, because there were some great shows on QPTV. Thank you, Joe. We go now to PMN, who writes, and I quote, Judaism is the pop spirituality in East Asia, similar to how Asian culture is revered spiritually in the West. Your take, unquote. Yeah, I know in South Korea, for instance, they study the Talmud in South Korea. I don't know if that's true. I don't know how much that's true in all of these East Asian countries. I wonder if that's really true in China, for instance, in communist China. But I don't know. I don't know. I hope they're getting something good out of it. I hope they're studying it in a way which isn't distorted, and I hope they're getting something beneficial from it. If they're studying it without the guidance of rabbis and without the guidance of people who know really what it means and who understand what the concepts are, then, you know, they may be getting a distorted version. But I hope they're getting something beneficial out of it. PMN now writes, Williams sisters on steroids, unquote. Well, the Williams sisters, of course they're using steroids. You know, most of these athletes, the vast majority of these athletes use steroids. They use drugs to enhance themselves physically so that they'll be better able to perform. Of course they do that. I don't have any doubt about that. Thank you, PMN. Is it cheating? Is it, you know, I think it is, but, that's something that the public obviously isn't that outraged by it because everybody knows that they're using it. Everybody knows that that's what's going on. And now, next is Binyamin Yisrael, who writes, and I quote, one, discuss Hanoi John Baal Keri, unquote. Well, John Kerry, who is currently the Secretary of State, Yimash Movazet Roshem Reshaim Yirkav, may his name and memory be obliterated, may the name of the wicked rot, this vicious Nazi Jew hater. John Kerry, he went to Vietnam, and he served, and he was not a hero. He used his political power to get medals and for phony things that never really took place. This is something the speedboat veterans exposed when he ran for president in 2004. And then when he came back to the United States, he formed an organization that was pro-communist, that supported America's communist enemies called Vietnam Veterans Against the War. That's what it was called, Vietnam Veterans Against the War. And this organization was marching, and they had Viet Cong flags at the demonstrations, the Viet Cong being the Vietnamese communists that were murdering American soldiers. I mean, complete traitors. And he was speaking at demonstrations where they were openly chanting in support of America's communist enemies while America's at war. He was doing this. And this is someone who was a former soldier. I mean, who's literally joining with the enemy. And then he testified before Congress with his infamous testimony where he accused Americans of raping and murdering on a massive scale Vietnamese civilians, of just rampaging through and murdering and slaughtering Vietnamese civilians. Now, he was a complete traitor to the United States, always was, always will be. Benjamin Yisrael now writes, to discuss Hanoi Jane Fonda, unquote. Okay? By the way, Jane Fonda and John Kerry worked together, and they were at some of these demonstrations together. Jane Fonda openly supported the North Vietnamese communists. She went to communist North Vietnam while American prisoners of war are being tortured there, while American soldiers were being murdered by them. While the United States is at war, she openly went to a nation that was openly at war with the U.S., murdering Americans, torturing American POWs, and she went there, and she was supporting them, and she wanted to help them shoot down American planes, and she was there to help man. She said she wanted to volunteer to man some of their anti-aircraft batteries, missile batteries, to shoot down American planes. In other words, to fight against her own country. That's Jane Fonda. And she was never prosecuted, just as John Kerry was never prosecuted. Both of them are traitors. They both should have been put on trial for treason, and both should have gotten the death penalty. And Benjamin now writes, 3, discuss Fonda's marriage to Ted Turner, unquote. Well, Ted Turner, another extreme left mental case, anti-religious fanatic, who, again, in college would go in front of the Jewish fraternity singing Nazi songs, singing Hitler songs and Nazi songs, and then who bought CNN. You know, the scum of the earth. Jane Fonda's a scum of the earth. Ted Turner's a scum of the earth. You know, the fact that they were married to each other, I think, I actually think it's pretty fitting. I think they're both immoral vermin, and I think that, they actually suit each other well. Benjamin now writes, 4, discuss the black singer Tina Turner, unquote.
Tina Turner, ooh, she got soul. That girl have soul. She sing with soul.
What a disgusting, she's one of the people who popularized black music among whites. So of course she's a negative influence on our society. She's already in her 70s. I don't know exactly how old, but I know she's in her 70s. Just a horrific example of someone else who, you know, popularized bad things in American society, and obviously that's something that I wouldn't be fond of. By the way, she gave up her U.S. citizenship. She gave up her U.S. citizenship, and she's now a citizen of Switzerland. What is this? Why would she want to go to Switzerland? She's a black woman from America who speaks Ebonics, and she wants to be a citizen of a white European country like Switzerland? I mean, it just doesn't make sense. But that's what happened. She relinquished her American citizenship so she could become a Swiss citizen. Strange but true. Thank you, Benjamin. We move on now to Da Vinci, who writes, and I quote, according to an analyst, now that the U.S. has made with Iran a nuclear deal, it has become as evil as Russia, which has helped to develop it. Your take, unquote. Well, it depends what part of America you're referring to. I think that the Barack Hussein Obama is as evil as Russia, or as evil as any other enemy of humanity. Barack Hussein Obama and the people that are, Barack Hussein Obama, Hillary Clinton, those types of people, yes, they are as evil as Putin or as any other enemies of civilization. Absolutely. Absolutely. But I wouldn't say all of America. I mean, there is a part of the United States, a large portion of the United States, that doesn't agree with those policies. And, of course, the one that we support who represents that opposition is Ted Cruz. There are people in the United States that don't agree with those policies. So I wouldn't say I wouldn't put all of the United States in the same category, because there are tens of millions of Americans, some of them evangelical Christians, Republicans, conservatives, Tea Party activists who completely disagree with all of this, very strongly disagree with it. So it depends what part of America you're referring to. I wouldn't say that that's true for America as a whole. Thank you, Da Vinci. And now we move on to Dr. Dan, the voice of reason, common sense, and logic, who writes, and I quote, one, discuss Kevin McCarthy, Speaker of the House, unquote. Well, he's running for Speaker of the House. He's such an establishment jerk. He goes on television and admits that the committee, that the Benghazi committee was put together for political reasons to bring down Hillary. I mean, just so stupid. Just such an incompetent jerk. And a complete sellout, just like John Bonner. Complete sellout. Part of the Republican leadership, a complete phony. Having said that, though, the guy running against him, I think, is even worse, believe it or not. As hard as it is to believe it, there could be somebody worse than that. Jason Chavitz, Chafetz in Hebrew. Chafetz is how you pronounce his name in Hebrew. Jason Chavitz, the congressman from Utah, I think is actually even worse than Kevin McCarthy. And again, Kevin McCarthy is terrible. But Jason Chavitz, his father was Jewish. His mother was a Christian Scientist, but his father was Jewish. So halachically, under Jewish law, he's not Jewish. But still, with the Jewish father, he has that mentality of wanting to screw his own people. So it's dangerous to have someone like him in a position like Speaker of the House, and he's running for Speaker of the House now against Kevin McCarthy. Jason Chavitz converted to Mormonism while he was in college. He decided to become a Mormon. I mean, why he picked that religion, I'll never understand. But he did. He converted to Mormonism. And of course, he was a left-wing Democrat for much of his life. He was a Democrat until 1990. He worked for Michael Dukakis, who was running for president, who was a Democratic candidate for president in 1988. He was actually the co-chair of the Dukakis campaign in the state of Utah. And one of the reasons he's so closely associated with Dukakis to this day is because he's related to Dukakis. His father, Jason Chavitz's father, was married to Dukakis's wife. Dukakis's wife, previous marriage, had been married to Jason Chavitz's father. So he's related, in a way, to Michael Dukakis. And he's very associated with him. I mean, I could go on and on and telling you all the things about this guy. He's a complete phony establishment fraud. He's pretending to run as a big conservative now, as a conservative alternative to Kevin McCarthy. He's anything but. He's a complete phony. In fact, the committee that he heads, he threw Real Conservative off the committee this summer, and Ted Cruz and others were complaining about that. He's a complete phony. And the fact that he has a Jewish father is a very serious problem, because that means he's going to be obsessed with trying to screw and destroy a people that he has roots to, because these sick characters that come out of these marriages are sometimes determined to destroy the Jewish people. And now Dr. Dan writes, two, Kim Davis Pope meeting, unquote. Well, Kim Davis, of course, is the brave woman who was the clerk in Kentucky who refused to issue the gay marriage licenses. And she went to prison for a short while because of that. And she did meet with the Pope when he was here. And the Vatican, to show what this left-wing Pope is all about, what did the Vatican do? He immediately said, oh no, that's not to indicate I support her. Of course he doesn't support her. Right after that, the Pope also met with a gay priest and gay married couple and other gays. You know, so phony. So phony, this. I mean, just pathetic. Just pathetic. I'm certainly not impressed with the fact that the Pope decided to meet with her when he also had meetings with all these homosexuals, with all these sodomites, and was legitimizing basically what they're doing. Three, Dr. Dan now writes, three, Russian bombing of ISIS, unquote. Yeah, well, actually, they're not doing much bombing of the Islamic State. They're actually, most of their bombing is actually against the other groups. Look, the Russians want to take over Syria. They want to have their puppets in control in Syria. They want to work with Iran, help Iran build nuclear bombs. That's what the Russians do. They are doing terrible things right now. It's very, very dangerous. And, you know, when I did a video about this, Dr. Dan, I actually released a video on this subject in English and in Hebrew. because Russia's presence, Russia's very aggressive presence in Syria now creates the prospect of eventually having a military confrontation with Israel. Because if Russia's, if the Muslim terrorists that Russia supports in arms, like Hezbollah, start firing missiles on Israel and Israel has to retaliate and Russia's right there next to Hezbollah, that could lead to war between Russia and Israel now. So this is a dangerous development. It's a dangerous situation. And I think Israel's weakness, the weak Israeli leaders have invited, as I said in the video that we did, I think they've invited, through their weakness, they've invited this type of bad situation. The Russians smelling weakness, that's one of the reasons they decided to go into Syria. They felt that they could get away with it, that the Israelis are not going to do anything about it. If there was a strong Israeli policy, I think the Russians might have been deterred from getting involved. Dr. Dan now writes, for Abbas' speech in UN about Oslo Accords, unquote. Yeah, Mahmoud Abbas, Abu Mazen, he sometimes calls himself Abu Mazen, sometimes Mahmoud Abbas, he made a speech saying that the PLO, Fatah terrorists, are no longer obligated to abide by the Oslo Accords. They never abided by them to begin with. They have violated every agreement they have ever signed. All the Arabs and Muslims always violate every agreement they sign. They never keep their word on any of their agreements. They don't keep their word on agreements they make with each other, and they certainly don't keep their word on agreements that they make with the infidel. This is what Muhammad taught them to do in the Quran. This is what Muhammad himself did. He himself violated all the agreements he made with people in the Quran and bragged about it in the Quran. So this is, you know, he's just announcing, he's again announcing that he's not accepting, he's not going to abide by the agreements. The Israelis, the retarded Israelis, of course, will continue to abide by agreements in a one-sided way that the Arab terrorists that they made the agreements with will never abide by. Thank you, Dr. Dan. And next is Chicago Jew, who writes, and I quote, what is your opinion of the American Jewish World Service, AJWS, unquote. Now, this is one of the most evil organizations on the face of the earth. I mean, this is the organization. They originally were formed to say every penny that we raise is going to go, it's a Jewish organization, all the money we raise comes from Jews. Not one penny will go to Jews. Every penny will go to only non-Jewish causes and really anti-Jewish causes. The head of the organization is the notorious Ruth Messenger. I don't know if people in JTF are old enough to remember Ruth Messenger. She was the communist borough president of Manhattan, and she is a Marxist, by the way. She calls herself a socialist, just like Bernie Sanders. She's another one. She to show how viciously anti-Israel she is, when she was on the city council in New York, they had resolutions condemning terrorist attacks against Israelis in the 1970s. They had resolutions condemning terrorist attacks against Israeli Jews. And even black and Puerto Rican anti-Semites, black and Puerto Rican city council members who are anti-Semites voted for the resolutions, but she refused to vote for it. That's how anti-Israel she is. She would not vote for a resolution condemning the PLO terrorists who were murdering Jews. I mean, what a vile, evil monster this is. Yimach Shma V'Zichra, Shem R'Shayim Yirkav. She's very, very rich, and her grandfather, Ruth Messenger's grandfather, was the head of the United Jewish Appeal, the UJA, another evil organization that gives all of its money to anti-Jewish causes. Her grandfather was the head of the UJA. Monsters. I mean, just a monstrous, she comes from a monstrous family, and she herself is a monster. And the organization is an extreme left, vile group that only supports evil causes. The LGBTQXIZ community, and AIDS, and Haiti, and Africa, and Muslims, and the rights of Muslims. That's what they give all their money to. I mean, just the scum of the earth. The scum of the earth. Yimach Shmam V'Zichram. And by the way, all the Jewish establishment organizations, all of the Jewish establishment organizations, the American Jewish Congress, American Jewish Committee, the UJA, B'nai B'rith, the Anti-Defamation League, all of them are evil. The Jewish National Fund, all of them are pure evil. None of them are good for the Jewish people. If they went out of business, AIPAC also is part of this. If they went out of business tomorrow, it would be the best thing for the Jewish people. Be wonderful for the Jewish people if they went out of business. In fact, if they dropped dead, it would be even better. Thank you, Chicago Jew. And now we go to Angry Chinese Kahanist, who writes, and I quote, "Your take on Hurricane Joaquin. It be a hurricane," unquote. Okay, well, I understand. And I thought that too when I first heard it, the way they're pronouncing it. They're pronouncing it Joaquin. You know, I thought of that at first. And then I realized a lot of Hispanic people take this name from the Bible. It actually is originally from a Hebrew name, from a Hebrew king of Israel. Jehoiachin. Jehoiachin was a king of Yehuda, Yehuda being Judah. And so they took the name Jehoiachin, and they have it, Hispanics use that name. They call it Joaquin or something. I don't know what they call it. But they use the name, and so that's where they took this from. And the reporters can't pronounce it, so they were calling it Joaquin. And of course, the black reporters, they're like, Joaquin, yeah, that be a hurricane. Yeah, that's a hurricane. Woo! I don't want to be near no hurricane. No. I remember Katrina. I didn't get my welfare check for 2 whole months. So, you know, it's just a distortion of the name. Thank you, Angry Chinese Kahanist. And now we move on to Hiram, who writes, and I quote, "Reb Chaim, please enlighten us on the significance of Sukkot." Okay, Sukkot is the holiday that we just celebrated, that just passed. It's called Feast of the Tabernacles. Some of you who may be listening after we, you know, after another holiday passed already, Simchat Torah and Shmini Atzeret, another couple of holidays that we just had also. For those of you that aren't hearing this on Sunday before the holiday, some of you may be hearing this program later in the week. But we had the holiday of Sukkot about a week ago, the Feast of the Tabernacles. And here Jews stay in the Chag of Sukkot. We sleep and eat in the Sukkah, which is an outside, partially uncovered booth. First to remember how the Jews slept in Sukkot. They slept in booths like this when they were in the desert, when we got out of the land of Egypt. So we're remembering what our forefathers did when they got out of the land of Egypt. And in doing so, we of course also remember the miracles that God did for the Jewish people and so on. We're also demonstrating our faith, because we're leaving the comfort and the security of our homes and going outside to an open booth where it's partially opened on top, and it's an open booth, and we're trusting in Hashem. So we're really demonstrating our emunah, our faith in God, during the holiday of Sukkot. And in addition to that, we're understanding that all material things in this world are temporary. The Sukkah is temporary. It only stays up during the holiday of Sukkot, the booth that we put up during the holiday. It's temporary. Our home, when we sleep in our home, when we eat in our home, that we think of that as permanent. And so we sometimes live in a world of illusions. Our home is not permanent. The material things we have in the world are not permanent. The money you have in a bank account are not permanent. If you have stocks and bonds and other things, that's not permanent. Nothing you have in this world is permanent in terms of physical things, in terms of material things. The only thing that is permanent are the good deeds you have, the mitzvot, and the things that you build credit for the next world. Your deeds will have a permanent effect on your eternal future. So we learn that from going in a booth that's temporary, a booth that's transitional, a booth that's going to be removed as soon as the holiday is over. We remember, it reminds us how temporary things are materially in this world, and how there are much more important things than just accumulating material things and living for materialistic reasons, even though we have to have, of course, we have to make a living, and we have to pay our bills, we have to have a home, and we have to eat food, and we have to have clothing, we have to have these other things, but we should never forget that those are only means to an end. The end is to live a life of obedience to Hashem, to God, and to his Torah, and to understand that our path to eternal life is doing what he tells us to do and making this a better world. Those are the permanent and important things, not materialistic things and transitional physical things in this world, which will not last. Because nobody takes their money with them when they go. When somebody dies, is buried in the grave, you don't take your money with you. You don't take your stocks and bonds. You don't take all of your degrees from the university. You don't take all the other things you have that you accumulated or made. If you have a fancy house or a fancy car, or fancy clothes, you're not taking any of that with you. None of that's going with you. All that stays here. The things you do take with you are the deeds, good and bad, that you performed while you were in this world. Those things you do take with you. Those things will count in the next world. And Sukkot reminds us of that. Chiram now writes, is there a devil in Judaism? Okay, good question. Not in the same sense that Christians and various other religions believe. Here's one of the areas where we have theological differences with our Christian friends. In Judaism, there is a concept of Hasatan, Satan. The word Satan is actually a Hebrew word, and it comes from. We first see this concept in Sefer Iyov. Sefer Iyov is the book of Job. In the book of Job, God is speaking to his various angels about his loyal servant Job, his loyal servant Iyov in Hebrew. Iyov, by the way, was not Jewish. Iyov was a righteous Gentile. And God is speaking to him about how loyal and how wonderful his servant Iyov is. And the angels all appear before God, and among the angels is Hasatan, is Satan. He's one of the angels. And so we see that in the Jewish concept is all angels are servants of God. All do God's will. None of them are rebelling against God. None of them will fight against God. None of them would dare to do that. They don't have free will. They all do what God tells them to do. That's the Jewish concept of angels, of malachim. The malachim are all servants of God. They do what God commands them to do, including Hasatan. The saying that we have in the saying that the Chazal give us is Hu Satan, Hu Yetzer Hara, Behu Malach HaMavet, which means he is Satan, he's the evil inclination, and he is the angel of death. In other words, there's one angel that's in charge of all the evil temptations that we have in this world. There's one angel in charge of all the evil things that we have inclinations to do. Because we have free will. We have an evil inclination, we have a good inclination. And all those evil inclinations, there's one angel in charge of making sure that we're tempted and making sure that we have free will and making sure that we're tempted to do evil just as we have the ability to choose to do good. And that angel also is the angel in charge. He's also Malach HaMavet. He's also the angel in charge of death. He's also the angel that when it's time for us to die, who puts us to death. So he's from the standpoint of human beings, he's very unpleasant. But he's performing a necessary task for God. It's part of God's will that we have free will, that there be good and evil, and that we ourselves have to choose the good. That's part of what God decided to put into this world. He decided to challenge us with this so that we would earn our way into the next world, so that we wouldn't be given this just for nothing, that we just get in and have everything handed to us on a silver platter and that's it. We didn't earn it, and everybody gets the same thing no matter what. God didn't want that. God wants us to earn our way into the next world. And so Satan, Hasatan, is the angel who is in charge of making sure that there's also an evil side that tempts us so that there is true free will. Chiram now writes, discuss Rupert Murdoch. Rupert Murdoch, of course, is the owner of, I think it's called News Corp, I think. It's the company that owns Fox, that owns the New York Post, that owns the Wall Street Journal and various other media agencies in the United States, Australia, Britain, around the world. Murdoch is the establishment. You know, people say he's conservative, he's right wing, you know, please. Fox is the establishment. They're all part of the establishment. Just to give you an example of how fake the establishment is and of how he's part of the phony right. Murdoch held fundraisers for Hillary Clinton. He raised money. He donated to Hillary Clinton's political campaigns. And he held fundraisers for Hillary Clinton. For her political, for her running for political office. He raised money for her, and he personally contributed to her. Okay, so that's some conservative. In addition to that, recently, just to give you another, just another example. Recently, Rupert Murdoch said that he thinks the person who should run for president now is Mike Bloomberg, the mayor of New York. He thinks he was a great mayor, and that he should run for president. He loves Mike Bloomberg. Mike Bloomberg? The extreme leftist who doubled our taxes in New York City? We already had the highest taxes in the country. He doubled our taxes in New York City? He doubled the New York City budget in 12 years. The New York City budget was $40 billion, which was outrageous. He made it $80 billion. He doubled the budget, the size of the city budget in 12 years. And Rupert Murdoch wants that creature to run for president and be president? So that's Fox, and that's the phone. And Rupert Murdoch is, by the way, the main, he's the main investor and the guy who really originated the concept of Fox and of all these other media companies he has. He's in charge. He's in charge of News Corp, and he and his family run it, and he's the biggest investor. So that's the phony right. That's the phony right. Thank you, Hiram. And now we go to EB22, who writes, and I quote, "Please discuss the terrorist shooting attacks that killed an Israeli couple and many on an Oregon campus," unquote. Well, the attacks that murdered the Israeli couple, we've already discussed, EB, in my opening. So you can go to the opening and you know, you, EB is someone else that knows me very well for years and very often knows what I'm going to speak about. So that, I've already covered that subject. I also, of course, did videos on that, and which we've uploaded to the site, to the forum and to the site. And I anticipate that we're going to be doing more videos on the Israeli couple that was murdered. In fact, I've spoken about at least four Israeli Jews have now been murdered in the past several days. Hashem Yikom Damam, God should avenge their blood. So the shooting on the Oregon campus, of course, you know, one interesting thing that hasn't been mentioned enough is this lunatic, this evil lunatic who murdered so many people on the Oregon campus was someone who was fond of Nazi literature and the Nazis. That wasn't mentioned. That was hardly mentioned. It was mentioned only in certain places I saw it, but not much. But yeah, he was fond of the Nazis and Nazi literature. And it's something that should have been brought up more. Thank you, EB22. And now, Gam Bashan VeGam Gilad, who was also active for years on our Hebrew forum. Gam Bashan VeGam Gilad is from Israel. Gam Bashan writes, and I quote, "Hello, dear Chaim. The media in Israel adored the figure of Carly Fiorina in the debate," unquote. Okay, well, anything that's bad for Jews, the Israeli media supports. Anything that's good for Jews, the Israeli media is opposed to. They take the opposite of whatever is good for Jews, they take the opposite position. Whatever's bad for Jews, they support. Whatever is good for Jews, they're against. So that's the anti-Semitic Israeli news media. Carly Fiorina is one of the worst people we could have among the Republicans running for president, because she supported the Muslims after 9/11, as we mentioned in an earlier question. She supported the Muslims, and God willing, I hope we'll be doing videos on this in the future. But she has praised Islam and the Islamic civilization. She's terrible. She's absolutely terrible. And so it doesn't surprise me that the news media in Israel, which is also anti-Semitic, would like her. It doesn't surprise me at all. Gam Bashan now writes, "Also, please mention some bad activities done by B'nai B'rith." Okay. And of course, B'nai B'rith, it's supposed to be, as you know, Gam Bashan, it's supposed to be B'nai B'rit. But, these geniuses, they call it B'nai B'rith. That's the siluf. That's the distortion of Hebrew that takes place in the United States. B'nai B'rith was formed by a group of self-hating German Jews who were embarrassed to be Jewish, were ashamed to be Jewish. And these self-hating German Jews, these self-hating assimilated German Jews, decided that they have to do something to get the Jews, because when the Jews were coming here from Poland and Russia and Eastern Europe, they were religious, the Jews in those days. I'm talking about 150 years ago. 150 years ago, the Jews who were coming here were religious. And, you know, they looked Jewish, they spoke Yiddish, this horrified the Jews of B'nai B'rith. These German, self-hating German Jews formed the organization to encourage Jews to assimilate. That was the purpose of the group. In fact, they started something called the Galveston movement, where they took 10,000 Jews, mostly from New York City, many of whom were religious. They took 10,000 Jews, moved them to Galveston, Texas, where there's no kosher food, where there's nothing Jewish, no yeshivot, no kosher food, no batei knesset, no synagogues, nothing. They moved them there to deliberately force them to assimilate. And they said, if you want jobs, you got to work on Shabbat. You have to work on the Jewish holidays, on the Chagim. The only thing they fed them was pork. They deliberately fed them pork and got them to assimilate and got them to give up their Jewishness. It was called the Galveston movement. They took 10,000 Jews, moved them to Galveston, Texas, for this purpose. This was B'nai B'rith that did this. These filthy traitors. Yimach shmam v'zichram shem reshaim v'yirkav. And in addition to that, by the way, now the organization are all elderly because most of their children are not Jewish. Most of their children have so assimilated they're not even Jewish anymore. They're not involved in any Jewish establishment groups. They don't want to know from anything Jewish anymore. So they're mostly old people now in B'nai B'rith. But another thing they did that was notorious was during the Nazi Holocaust. They did not one thing, nothing. Not one thing to save 6 million Jews who were murdered during the Holocaust. Nothing. In fact, when Peter Berkson and Ben Hecht and good Jews, Jabotinsky supporters, tried to save the 6 million Jews during the Holocaust, B'nai B'rith did everything they could to undermine their attempt to rescue the Jews during the Holocaust. So they betrayed the 6 million Jews during the Holocaust. In fact, they opposed boycotting Nazi Germany. They were opposed to the boycott of Nazi. There was a boycott of Nazi goods in Nazi Germany, and they were opposed to that boycott. That's B'nai B'rith. That's the scum of B'nai B'rith. Yimach shmam v'zichram. Of course, they support every evil cause under the sun. Every evil cause you can imagine, they support. They support intermarriage. They support assimilation. They support homosexual marriages. They support Israeli national suicide, a so-called Palestinian state and Israeli national suicide. Every single thing you can imagine that's bad for the Jewish people, they support. They are complete traitors on every issue in every single area. Now, there may be ordinary dumb Jews, ignorant dumb Jews who are members of this organization who may not know any better, who are not traitors. But the leaders of the organization are all traitors, and the purpose of the organization is to commit treason. Thank you, Gambashan. And now we move on to Smash Islam, who writes, and I quote, "One, I'm insulted when Judaism is compared with Islam," unquote. Of course you should be associated. You should be insulted, because it's an obscenity. There is no comparison. Judaism, first of all, is the truth. It was given to the Jewish people by God, by Hashem at Mount Sinai. It is the truth. The prophecies of the Bible are all coming true. The return of the Jews to the land of Israel is all living proof of the fact that Judaism is the true word of God. Islam is a lying, evil, monstrous pseudo-religion. Smash Islam now writes, too, Pablo Escobar was the the massive cocaine dealer, the cocaine kingpin from Colombia. He was a big Colombian cocaine dealer. That's part of the beautiful culture. part of the beautiful culture in Latin America that we're supposed to be happy with. You know, we'll welcome them all into the United States and we're supposed to be happy with. But he was very wealthy and had a lot of support, and to this day, a lot of Colombians love him. They love his memory and they love everything about him. 3. Constitution of Medina. This is one of the Muhammad, as part of his takiyah meaning deception in Arabic. which he ordered the Muslims to do with the infidels. When he saw that he couldn't militarily exterminate completely the Jews and the other non-Muslims on the Arabian Peninsula, he put together something which the Muslims call the Constitution of Medina, which isn't really a constitution. He basically put something together saying, you know what, we'll tolerate you, we'll live together, we'll coexist. We'll let you practice your religion, we'll coexist. Temporarily he did this. Later on, of course, to attack them again, and he did attack them afterwards. But, of course, every agreement, anything they ever did, the Muslims always violated. They always, in the end, violate, break their word on everything. Everything is aimed at deceiving and destroying and undermining the infidel. And this was one of these tactics that he used. This is one of the tactics that Muhammad used. But it clearly says in the Quran that you can't tolerate the presence of infidels in the Arabian Peninsula or anywhere in the world, that your ultimate goal has to be complete conquest of the world for Islam. So this was just a tactic to catch the non-Muslim infidels, including many Jews, off guard in the Arabian Peninsula so they could murder them. And now Smash Islam writes, "For Obama born in Kenya is irrelevant, his mother was American." That's not the issue. You see, you're right, that they're dumb people who say that the issue is, well, Obama was born in Kenya. That's not the relevant issue, because his mother was an American citizen. The relevant issue is Obama relinquished his American citizenship. Obama didn't want to be an American citizen anymore. He gave up his American citizenship in order to get a foreign scholarship into Columbia University. So he gave up his American citizenship. He forfeited his American citizenship. And so he's not a valid American citizen. That's the issue. If that happened, and there's evidence that this, a lot of evidence that he did actually do that, then he isn't eligible to be president. If you give up, if you're an American citizen, if you have an American mother, you are an American citizen. I don't care if you're born on Mars. I don't care if you're born on the moon. You're an American citizen. You're a naturalized American citizen. You're not a naturalized. You're a natural born. You're like a natural born American citizen if you give up, if you have an American mother. Or an American, if your mother's American, that's it. Or if your father's American, either one of your parents, you're an American citizen. But, if you give up your citizenship, then you're not an American citizen anymore. You have the right to give up your citizenship if you want to. And he did do that in order to get this special foreign scholarship program into Columbia University. Once you do that, you're not eligible anymore to be president because you're not a citizen anymore. Thank you, Smash Islam. And that's why the idiots who say it's like Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz's parents temporarily went to Canada to work in the oil business, and Ted Cruz was born in Canada. And he came here when he was 2 or 3 years old. But he had an American mother, so he's an American. There's no question he's an American. He never gave up his American citizenship like Obama did. So it's a completely different issue. Thank you, Smash Islam. And next is Black Sabbath, who writes, and I quote, "I live in Europe, and believe me, Islam will be the dominant force here within 10 years. And when that happens, America will be next," unquote. I agree with you that Islam is becoming a dominant. I think they in some places, they already are a dominant force in Europe. They're already dictating to Europeans what to do and what they can't do. I agree with you. That's what happens. That's what happens when if you allow the Muslims to get powerful and you allow them to come in and get powerful and take over, they're going to do that. Of course they're going to do that. Thank you, Black Sabbath, and I want to thank everybody for another program that we very much enjoy doing every week. Until next week, Shalom.